In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of the death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise, never joyous, since consolation, for the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Ignatius.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
One of my seminarian friends was in Lourdes, France, and he decided that he was going to make a really good confession. So he went into the Basilica of Lourdes, where you have a lot of confessors, where you can go to confession in French and English and Spanish and other languages. So he prepared himself for a long time, and he actually had written out about 10 pages to go to confession. General confession. So he looked into the church there and he saw the light on and it said English. And so the door was open, so we entered in. He knelt down and he said, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was so long ago." And he started to read and read and read and read the 10 pages. So after he finished, he said, "Father, I'm finished. Give me some advice and give me absolution." Silence. Father, I'm finished. Some advice, absolution anyway. Silence. Father, what happened was the priest got up to go to the bathroom. He left the light on. He wasn't in the confessional. So that's the topic we're going to talk about today, is the empty confessional, okay? But you're going to fill it, okay? Talk today about how to make a good general confession. And when I say general, I don't mean generic, but a confession of your whole life. This is a key moment in these exercises. We arrived at the midpoint of the exercises in which we are opening up the door so you can enter in and hopefully find a priest there. So you can make your general confession. So talk about confession in general, and I'm going to give you some concrete steps on how you can make, hopefully, the best confession in your life. And this is a very good time because we're only... we start today for the novena for Christmas Eve anyway. Celebrate the birth of our Lord by making a good confession and the best confession in our life, we hope. And right after Christmas, of course, we start a new year. So it's a very opportune time for us to make a good confession for Christmas, so that Christ will be born in our hearts, and to start off the new year with a white, pure, resplendent soul. Okay, confession, where does it come from in the Bible? John 20, 21 to 23. Try to remember that, okay? John 20, 21 to 23. Remember it. It's worth memorizing, okay? The context, Easter Sunday night. The place, the cenacle or the upper room. The persons, the fearful apostles. Jesus, risen from the dead, who goes through the door, goes through the room, in his glorified body, and says, "Shalom, peace be with you." And he breathed on them the Holy Spirit and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive will be forgiven. Whose sins you retain will be held retained. There you have the institution of the sacrament of confession. It was the Easter gift. That was Easter Sunday night. So the Easter gift was a gift of God's mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. So John 20, 21 to 23. Try to remember it, okay? Now the Catechism of the Catholic Church, one of the most reliable resources, speaks very clearly on the importance of this sacrament, but gives this sacrament different names. So I'd like to go through the various names that you can read in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I'll give you about five. Confession. Confession because we have to confess our sins vocally to the priest. We're not Protestants, I hope not. I mean, Protestants can go to God directly. They've got a wireless Verizon connection, but we don't have that, okay? We have to go through the operator, that's the priest, okay? Priest operator, huh? So we have to confess our sins to the priest by our words. Okay. Sometimes you hear the Protestants, even Catholics say, that, well, I confess to God. Ever hear that one? Okay. And I say, I do also, but then I confess to the priest. Uh-huh, amen. Got you there, huh? I first confess my sins to God, I tell him I'm sorry, then I go to the priest. That should be the proper order. See, if you're making a good confession, you should first confess your sins to God, telling God you're sorry, then through the middleman, okay? Okay. Intermediary. Okay, another name for it is the sacrament of forgiveness. Because in confession, our sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven, go in peace. Third name would be sacrament of penance. We commit sin, and in justice, we have to do some type of penance to repair for our sins. So sin demands justice. Justice is implemented by some type of penance. Another name would be the sacrament of reconciliation. That's a good word. What does reconciliation mean? It means that if I've offended you, I have to try to reconcile with you. If I've ruptured or I've broken our bonds of friendship, I have to tell you I'm sorry. Try to make up. You commit a sin, we hurt God. We have to tell God we're sorry for having hurt him. That's called reconciliation, making peace. Shalom, peace be with you. And it's not mentioned explicitly in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, but implicitly it is. It's a sacrament of God's mercy. As St. Faustina says, as well as John Paul II says, the greatest attribute of God is his mercy. It's his greatest attribute, or if you like, attribute would be his greatest virtue, would be that of mercy. And what is mercy? Mercy is God's love forgiving the sinner. God longs to forgive the sinner. Of course, the sinner has to be repentant. Repentance is key. Okay, so there we have the different names that describe this wonderful sacrament. Let's move on to another topic. Okay, the minister, you can be a Eucharistic minister and give out communion to help out the priest. You probably knew that. But you cannot be a confession minister. That you can't do. It's not going to work. So you could be a thousand times more holy than the priest. You can't do it. Because you have to have holy orders. Holy orders is a sacrament, which is an ontological change in the priest, leaves a character. Okay? Character that gives the priest the ability to celebrate Mass, as well as to absolve, forgive sins. So the minister is the priest. One of my favorite films in the past 10 years is The Greatest Miracle. Spanish, El Gran Milagro. Came out about 8 or 9 years ago. Great film. I invite all of you to try to buy the film. It's claymation, cartoons, no, called claymation, but they're clay figures. Have any of you seen it? None of you have seen it? It's worth seeing. It's the best explanation of the Mass I've ever seen. It's only about 65 minutes, 70 minutes, short.
Great miracle, you said?
Yeah, the greatest miracle. El Gran Milagro in Spanish. Great, I mean, all of you should get it. You could maybe even buy it as a Christmas present to one of your kids. And that will force them to look at the Mass, okay? So it goes through the Mass part by part. But there also is a 5-minute scene where you see the priest in the confessional. You see all the different devils that are trying to tempt the penitents to not to confess, not to pay attention, to be filled with fear, to look at their cell phone, look at this woman that's walking the church. A lot of temptations. But there's a beautiful scene where a woman enters the confessional, and after she's unloaded her sins, when the priest lifts up his hand, he turns it to Jesus, and you can see the wounds of Jesus Christ. Great scene. Picture is worth more than 1,000 words, right? It's a great scene. Basically, that says what I'm trying to illustrate here, is that when you go to confession, it's not so much the priest that forgives you, but it's Jesus Christ that forgives you. You got to believe that. So the priest could have a cold or a sore throat, or he could sneeze on you. I don't know. He could be tired. Maybe not say that much. Maybe not be exactly the way you like him to be, because only God is perfect. But you have to believe that the priest, when he says, "I absolve you from your sins," I mean, you're forgiven. Those are beautiful words. No? And given that many, 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 many people here come to confession, as a preacher and teacher, I talk a lot. As a confessor, I say very little. And one of the reasons why, you've already heard me. You've already heard me for 20 years, okay? I'm not going to repeat what you already know, you've heard. So, you know, I'll listen to you, maybe say a word or two, I'll give you your penance, and you're out. That's my style, no? If you ask a question, I'm not lacking in words, no wisdom. But I really promote frequent confession, and what happens is we sit in the confessional, and then the lines come, because this is a place where we confess during the week, and you don't have that basically in other places. So people come from all over the place to go to confession here. Our founder said that the oblate priest should die in the pulpit or the confessional. So one day, if there's no response, it might be... not that the priest got up to go to the bathroom, but the Lord called him. Good place to die, right? Die in your post, huh? Die in the line of duty, huh? Good place to die. Some of you are thinking, well, maybe he would die if you heard all of the sins I'm going to tell him. Now, we're actually trained as priests never to be surprised at whatever we might hear. Remember here, even if your best friend killed your mother, you shouldn't be surprised. I mean, something as serious as that. So you come to confessional, you say something, what did you do? No. Can you say that again? I'm not sure I heard that right. No. God is merciful, and we're capable of anything. Teresa of Avila says that without God's grace, we shouldn't be surprised what we do. We should be surprised what we don't do. Teresa of Avila. We're capable of creating new sins every day, as we see on TV, right? Okay, so there we have the point that the priest is he's the minister. Not the Protestant minister, but he's the minister by which God communicates forgiveness. Let's move on to another point of confession. Okay, confession. How many sacraments are there?
Seven.
You're right. The sacraments are exterior signs that Christ has created to confer grace, okay? Exterior signs instituted by Christ, okay? To confer grace. But each sacrament has a different specific effect. You're like, if you play baseball and the defense, every baseball player has a different function, right? The pitcher is not a catcher. First baseman is not a second baseman. Shortstop hitting the hole is different than the second baseman, right? The center fielder has to have the best arm, right? He's to cover most ground, and you go to the center field fence. You have to throw it further than the left field fence. A little bit of a baseball analogy for you, okay? So the sacraments, each sacrament is instituted by Christ to confer grace, but they're different. Like the second baseman is not the first baseman, the catcher is not the pitcher, right? What's that? Know nothing about baseball, but now you do, okay? I gave you a mini class on it, okay? That was my sport when I was younger. Right? I actually played in the university level, so I like this sport a lot, okay? So now and then you'll get a baseball analogy, okay? So I'll be training you little by little. Okay, this is baseball training camp, okay? Okay, so the specific grace of Mass and communion would be healing. No, nourishment rather. The Eucharist nourishes us. It's the bread of life. Nourishes and gives us strength. But what about the sacrament of confession? Don't all speak at the same time, no? There's confusion among the rocks, or among the ranks, no?
Redemption.
Healing.
Redemption.
Forgiveness.
Purity. Okay, that's the best response is healing, okay? There is reconciliation, there's other things, but healing is the specific sacramental grace that's conferred when you go to confession. sin wounds our soul. Confession heals our soul. We see Jesus many times in the gospel, he's healing people that are sick. The leper. Or the confirmation so we say the leopards. Okay? Yeah. The blind. The sick. The deaf. Did you hear me? You hear me? The deaf? Okay. The paralytics. You remember once when Jesus did heal that paralytic? He first healed his soul, then his body. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Your sins are forgiven, then take your mat, get up, and go home. Jesus had the right priorities. First the soul, then the body. For us, it's the other way around, right? We have a tendency to place more emphasis on the body than the soul. The material over the spiritual. Some of you have children and grandchildren. A week before Christmas, what are little children thinking about? That fat little guy coming down the chimney with a white beard. I thought I'd like to have a rocket in the chimney and send that guy to the moon so he never comes back again. Okay? But they have a tendency, they focus more on the jolly old Saint Nick than on Jesus Christ. So, the specific effect of confession is healing. God heals the broken heart. He heals the wounded heart. So we're all wounded. The whole world is a hospital, right? It's a hospital. The Pope says in one of his talks, no? The whole world is a hospital. We're all wounded in one way or another. But good news is there's a doctor in the house, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen, right?
Amen.
There's a doctor in the house. Jesus came to heal us. One of the most famous writers last century, his name was Henri Nouwen. And one of the basic themes of Henri Nouwen is that we're all wounded. And he said this, either we are wounded wounders or we are wounded healers. Amen? Either we're wounded wounders or we are wounded healers. So if we don't bring our wounds to the divine physician, we're going to be wounding other people. But if we bring our wounds to the divine physician, we can be wounded healers in a broken and wounded world. Amen? True, right? How many people that are wounded that we know are wounding other people? By their words, by their actions, by their sarcasm, by their bitterness. Chismosos, their looks. Their looks are kind of like daggers coming out. True? Because they're wounded. And the gaping wound, it overflows upon other people. So Jesus says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? If we're healed and have Christ within, we're going to be transmitting Christ to others. Okay, so there's an introduction, a brief catechesis on confession. Let's go over how we're going to make our general confession. Someone might say, well, I've already gone to confession, why do I have to go to confession again? Well, good question. But it's good to make a general confession because one, Ignatius Loyola says that we should do it, so that's good enough for me. But also it might be this. Maybe in our lives, we haven't confessed all of our sins. And maybe what has happened is that instead of confessing our sins, we held something back. Because of fear or shame. And if we've done that, we held something back, then we really have to make a general confession, because we make bad confessions and we make bad communions. We make bad confession and communion, we're not in harmony with God's will. Because over the past 50 years, there's really been a crisis in catechesis. Over the past 50, 55 years, a real crisis in catechism. Fulton Sheen, your friend Fulton Sheen, says that the world can be divided in three different epochs. The age of faith, 12th century, 11th century, Thomas Aquinas. The age of reason, 17th century, with the Enlightenment and Voltaire and those guys. No? In the 20th century, we've entered into the age of feelings. The age of feelings. It's important that you feel good, okay? So catechesis over the past 50 years has not been so much the truth, but how do you feel about this? No? We call that moral relativism in theology, okay? Moral relativism, no? Everyone pick and choose, or cafeteria Catholicism, pick and choose. Whatever your spiritual taste buds like. So we've had a couple of generations who have not probably have not been catechized well in confession. I'll give you a very kind of sad example is that years ago in a parish where my mother went to, they were not hearing confessions before First Communion. Okay? This is another part of the, you know, 3,000 miles away from us, in a different part of the country, no? And so my mother confronted the nun and the priest. He said, look, you know, Father, there's a priest there and a very liberal sister, and said, look, you know, the kids should go to confession before. And they said to her, well, Joan, we don't like your theology. My mom's name is Joan. So she went to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and Canon Law and made a photocopy of that, brought the Catechism of the Catholic and Canon Law, which says that they go to confession before First Communion. And they said, oh, that's fine for you, but that's not fine for us. So you got a Protestant Catholic church there. He said a Protestant Catholic church. For that reason, around 1980, John Paul II wrote Reconciliation and Penance, from which we've got the five ideas of theological effects of sin, because confession has been in crisis in many places over the past 50 years. Not in our parish, because why? We preach it. We're available. We try to administer God's mercy. Remember a document by Archbishop Dolan of New York. One of his documents was on welcoming people back to the church. In other words, was from the pulpit to the confessional, taken from the martyrdom of those two priests in Iraq about 6 or 7 years ago. In Iraq, in Baghdad, there were priests, one was in the confessional, the other was in the mass, and they entered and they murdered those two priests, martyred them. But in that document, the Holy Father, there's a page in which a priest is transferred from one parish to another parish in New York. And he's there in the parish for a year and no one came to confessional. So he wrote the letter to the bishop saying, could you please transfer me to another parish because I want to go to a parish where there are sinners. They placed him in a parish where there are no sinners. He said, I feel more comfortable with the sinners than these people that are already ready to be canonized, huh? It's So that means over a couple of generations, there were liberal pastors there that never really preached on sin and didn't spend time in the confessional. Pope Francis, when he was asked who he was when he was recently elected pope, he gave his identity, he said, I'm a sinner. He didn't say, I'm a saint. Or I'm an Argentine from Buenos Aires. No? He said, I'm a sinner. So are we. And our sins are forgiven by God's mercy through confession. So let's go through the five classical steps to make a good confession. Five steps. One is examination of conscience. Examination of conscience. So another theological principle is this. It's called the dispositive grace, which means this. You receive graces from the sacraments commensurate with or in proportion to your preparation. So that means the better the preparation, the better the preparation for the sacraments, specifically confession and then communion, the more abundant the graces. So those who really prepare themselves well for confession are going to receive a lot of graces. Those who really prepare themselves well for communion are going to receive abundant graces. Those people who are very flippant and nonchalant in their preparation for this sacrament, the graces are going to be much more limited. So what we're giving you to examine your conscience is an examination conscience booklet. So this will be your primer, your text that you're going to be using to prepare yourself to make a good confession, this little booklet. Okay, this little booklet gives a little catechesis on the sacrament as an intro, up to page 7, then on page 8, how to go to confession, prayer before confession, prayer for light, prayer before confession, and then it goes through what are mortal sins. So we'd like you in this confession, given that we're a pretty big number, just confess your mortal sins, species and number. And a mortal sin, if you remember your catechism, there are three conditions to commit a mortal sin. And they are grave matter, full knowledge, full consent of the will. There you have it.
Repeat that again.
Okay, grave matter, which means it's something that is serious. Full knowledge. You know it. You have full consent of the will. You do it anyway. There you have the three conditions to commit a mortal sin. Is stealing a sin, a mortal sin? If you steal my wallet, it would be a venial sin. If you steal Father Larry's wallet, it would be a mortal sin. Now, there's a difference, right? Okay. If you steal something that's of great quantity, that'd be a mortal sin. Steal a bubble gum, no. Okay, so you're going to be going through this this booklet, which is very good. And this your general confession, it has to be written out. Okay. You have to write it. If you don't write it out, very likely what will happen is that you're going to be forgetting some of your sins. You come out of the confessional, I forgot to say three of the most important sins, they skipped my mind. But not if you're writing them down. They're written. You just read off the list and there you have it. Now the Examination of Conscience booklet is not exhaustive. I mean, you might have other sins that are not in the booklet. So when you're confessing, you want even before you do your examination of conscience, you want to be praying to the Holy Spirit. Pray the Holy Spirit for light to be able to see your sins in the light of God's mercy. See your sins in the light of God's mercy. Pray to Mary, who's known as our Mother of Mercy. Pray to your guardian angel for light. See, this is one of the most important spiritual exercises in the whole program, okay? Examine your conscience, it's a spiritual exercise. So you're going to be writing down all of your mortal sins and the number of times you've done them too. Okay, for lack of priests, we're going to be asking you all, we're going to be giving you a slot to fill in after this talk. We're going to be asking you to try to get your confession done within 10 minutes. That means you just have to, very cut to the quick, go through those sins, just say them, read them, and that's it. This is not a psychological session, okay? It's a session, it's a sacrament which we encounter Christ. Okay, second point is that when you go to confession, you have to have what's called contrition or sorrow for sin. Contrition or sorrow for sin. And this can be of two types. It can be imperfect sorrow or perfect contrition. Imperfect contrition, also called atrition, is I'm sorry for my mortal sins because if I am not sorry for them and I die in that state, then I could lose my soul. That's good enough to make a good confession. Imperfect. This is called fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Nothing wrong with fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we want to go beyond the imperfect. Perfect contrition is this. Good definition of sin from Fulton Sheen is hurting the one you love. Fulton Sheen gives that definition, hurting the one you love. You don't want to sin because you don't want to hurt the one you love and the one who loves you. And that's Jesus Christ. So perfect contrition, I don't want to sin because I don't want to wound the person that loves me most in this world, that's Jesus Christ. I don't want to do anything to jeopardize or to wound this wonderful friendship that I have with Christ. So that is contrition. And you really have to beg for the grace For imperfect as well as perfect, these are supernatural actions that we're making. Okay? Supernatural means it transcends nature. We have to beg the Father of Lights, God Himself, to help us. We want to ask the Holy Spirit to come to our aid. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful, right? Third step is firm purpose of amendment. Firm purpose of amendment. Now, 2 and 3 are interconnected. What is firm purpose of amendment means? It means this, is that if I'm really sorry for my sin, I'm going to try to avoid any person, place, thing, circumstance, event that's going to lead me into sin. We call avoid the near occasion of sin. If you play with fire, you're going to get burnt, right? You walk on thin ice, you're going to fall in. And the Bible teaches us that those who play in danger will perish in danger. So you have to rewind the film of your life to see what person, place, thing, or circumstance led you into sin. A couple examples. Juanito has problems with drinking. He's had alcoholic problems for 30 years, and he's decided to give it up. Now, when he's by himself, there's no problem with his family. But when he goes with his beer buddies, whose famous phrase is, it's Miller time, okay, there's going to be a danger. So he has to avoid going in contact with these guys. So on the weekend when they're drinking, he cannot approach them because he's going to be dragged into it. If he goes, there he is, hey. Juanito, échate una nomás. Échate una nomás, te veo muy estresado. Cálmate, relájate. Come on, just calm down and just have one beer. That's enough. Mandy alone. What that means? Don't even know Spanish? Mama's boy, huh? So he gives in and has a six-pack 3 times. And he's singing Christmas songs in the middle of July. He had to avoid going with those guys because they're going to wrap him in. Another example is that Peter and Susie, they are fiancés, they're about to get married. They've been going out 5 years and going to be married for in a month, and they just have a lot of temptations. So what they have to do is, if they have temptations. So this is a typical weekend for them, okay? Saturday night, they go out to one of these elegant restaurants in Southern California, Pollo Loco. Right? After a very romantic dinner at Pollo Loco, He invites Peter invites Susie to go to his house. Of course, to pray the rosary together. But when they arrive at the house, they both forget where the rosaries are. And they say, we'll pray the rosary, we'll pray the Psalms. They lost their Bible, too. So they end up in falling into fornication. So what has to happen is they have to go to that restaurant, but they have to drive in two separate cars and go home and not go to one of their homes together alone. That's called avoiding the near occasion of sin. Have to avoid the near occasion of sin. Okay? And that's what firm purpose of amendment is. You have to see where your weak point is, where you're vulnerable, where there's a real possibility of you falling into sin, and to avoid that. That's why you have to rewind the film of your life and see some of the patterns in your life that have led you into sin. So there are certain patterns in life that lead us into sin. It's called self-knowledge. Getting to know yourself, self-knowledge. Okay, then the fourth step is right now you've already examined your conscience, you've written out your sins. You made your act of contrition. Now you confess your sins to who?
Priest.
To the priest. Who represents Christ, of course. Some ideas on the fourth point. Once St. Faustina Kowalska went to confession, and when she came out of the confessional, she did not feel at peace, which was abnormal. Usually she felt a lot of peace through going to confession. But this time, no. So Jesus appeared to her and she said, well, I did not experience peace. He said, because you didn't pray for the priest before you entered the confessional. Hello? Is that she didn't experience peace because she didn't pray for the priest before she entered the confessional. Some of the tips of the trade, huh? Say Hail Mary. Or prayer to the guardian angel. It works. So you're on the same wave, in the same wavelength. Okay. To go to confession, you're prepared. Okay, now, there are three, according to in the Diary of St. Faustina, three conditions, three qualities of a good confession. Transparency, humility, and obedience. Those are three qualities of a good confession. Transparency, humility, and obedience. Those are three very important qualities. Transparency means is that you have to try to be clear. You have to be clear. Don't be murky or or ambiguous. You know, say it as it is. Be clear. Second condition is that of humility. So don't do this. Father, I get angry at my husband, but if you knew him. If you knew him, you'd cut me a little bit of slack. It's not good, because that's pride. And you're trying to justify it. Pope Francis the other day gave a talk, homily, in which he said three sins of the tongue. One is those who speak and they open up their mouth with empty words. Like the parable the other day, the father said to the son, go out in the field and work, and he said, yes, I'll go, but he didn't. He basically lied to his father. The second would be that of those who justify themselves, rationalize, they intellectualize. They find excuses. And the third way to sin is accusing others. Pointing your finger at others and not pointing the finger at yourself. And Augustine says, the less we examine our conscience, the more we accuse others. Not true. Huh? The less we examine our conscience, the more we point our finger at others. Huh? So, humility. Don't make the but confession. I call it the but confession. I did this, but if you knew my husband. Maybe remember that show years ago, Dragnet, with Joe Friday?
Just the facts.
Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts, ma'am. Okay, just the sins, ma'am. Just the sins, ma'am. Humility, transparency, and obedience. The priest says, obey it. Okay? Don't do your own thing. Obey God through what the priest says. You got to speak through the priest. Okay, so those are the qualities of a good confession that have to be manifest when you're confessing to the priest. Now, some practical mechanics of confession that are important because this sacrament is in crisis, has been in crisis for many years. When you go in the confessional, you encounter Christ. When you go in the confessional, make sure that you close the door. If not, others might hear your sins. There are people that leave the door open. I've never understood that. No, how can you leave the door open? The person behind you is going to hear all your sins. No, close the door. Then when you leave the door open. So the person that leaves the door open at first is the person that's always going to be closing the door afterward. So that's a very minor detail, but it's important. Okay, now you get two options. You can go face to face, if you're courageous, okay? Or you can hide, okay? You can do it the anonymous way, okay? It's up to you, okay? But still, it's a good idea to start off the confessional. You start, not the priest, okay? You start with the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been a month since my last confession. These are my sins, and this is a general confession. Excellent. Person that does that, is really start off on the right foot.
Father, I just don't understand that word that you're saying. Is it general confession?
Or yes, general.
Oh, general. Okay.
It means a confession of your whole life. That's what it is. Very important that you start off that way, and it really, it helps me out a lot. Otherwise, if someone goes behind the screen and doesn't say anything, and then I start to speak in English, and the person doesn't understand me, right away I'm angry inside. Okay, so I'm angry right away. Okay? You got me in a bad mood. No? So it's good to have the priest in a good mood. No, so you should take the initiative. You know, you start off or fumbling around, what language, what, I'm already tired, no? I love assertive people. I take the bull by the horns, no? So it's good. You know, you go in there, you close the door, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was a month ago. These are my sins. Excellent. Not we start off fumbling. Okay? Okay? That's the way it should be. That's the way that we were taught before. No. Okay. So you know, do it that way. Even if it's not a general confession, but even a confession maybe you make every month, you start off that way, and you're starting off on the right path. Okay. Another element in number four is. You have to tell the number of mortal sins, okay? Number and species. This has also been a crisis in the modern world, which people do not tell the number of mortal sins. For example, if you have you go into the hospital to have a breast operation, breast cancer. When you wake up after the operation, what's the first question you're going to ask the doctor? What did Trump say yesterday? No, that's not that important. What's important, did you get it all, right? That's what you should be concerned about. Did you get it all out? So sin is cancer. We want to try to get it all out. And the priest is a surgeon. So you want to make sure that you get all those sins out. All of them. So someone comes to confession and says, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I miss Mass on Sunday. But the person had not gone to Mass for 6 months. Okay, so Miss is saying missing Mass on Sunday is not good enough. You have to say I miss Mass 24 times, or maybe 25 times. Okay, this guy is about to get married. He's had premarital sex. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I had premarital relations with my fiance. Okay, just one time. No, it was once a week for 5 years. So what does that mean? Once a week for 5 years, you got, you know, probably close to 300 times. So there's a big difference between one time and 300 times. I looked at pornography. Just once? Oh, no. On a daily basis for the past 10 years, okay? So you got more than, you got more than 3,600 times. It's a lot. So we have to be trained to confess well. That's why he's saying it's got to be transparent, it's got to be humble, and it's got to be obedient. So there you have it. Confess your sins to the priest. And be honest. The priest is not going to be telling your sins to anyone. We have the seal of the confessional, okay? Then the fifth step, and each step is important, is going to confession. You have to, after you've done these four steps, you have to do the penance. So the priest gives you absolution. You said your act of contrition. Priest gives you absolution. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Go out and do the penance. Now the penance often can be a few prayers. Maybe read something from the Bible. Maybe an act of charity. Maybe an act of penance. I think it's a good idea. I was trained when I was in Rome studying. My formator said, whatever penance the priest gives you, always do double. Okay? Always do double. So he asked you to say five Hail Marys. Okay, say ten. Maybe say a whole rosary. So be generous with God. Be generous. Now once that's done, all of your sins are forgiven. And you start an entirely new life. Now look at this. You make a good confession. Then afterward you go to communion. And you pray the rosary there in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You pray for the Pope and his intentions. You try, your intention is not to sin anymore. You receive what is called a plenary indulgence. What does that mean? Your soul is white as the snow. And if you're to die that night or that afternoon, you go right to heaven. Wow, beautiful. In the 4th century, there was a great saint who helped to translate the Bible from Greek and Aramaic into Latin. His name was Saint Jerome. He had a very irate temperament, but a very holy man. And he lived the latter part of his life in the cave of Bethlehem, according to tradition. It was right near Christmas, and the child Jesus appeared to him. And he wanted to offer the child Jesus a gift. So he said, okay, well, I'd like to offer you all the books that I've translated. The biblical work that I translated, I'd like to give this to you as a gift, as a birthday gift. Jesus said, I want something else. He said, well, here's a stone I have that I use to hit my chest. I do a lot of penance. Here's the stone. I don't want your stone. He said, well, maybe my long vigils that I've spent long hours in prayer in this cave, contemplating your life, very beautiful. But I want something else. So Saint Jerome couldn't think about anything else. Then he told the child Jesus, well, you tell me, what do you want as a birthday gift? He said, I want this. Give me your sins. Give me your sins. Even though your sins be like scarlet, I will make them white as the snow. So all of you are called to give Jesus Christ a birthday gift. In imitation of St. Jerome, you're called to give Jesus your sins. And even though your sins might be numerous, they might be very serious, they might be very grave, the whole purpose of the Incarnation, the whole purpose of Christmas, the whole purpose of Jesus coming to earth is this. He came to save us. And as Archbishop Fulton Sheen says, the most important title for Jesus Christ, many titles for Jesus, but the most important title for Jesus Christ is Savior. Savior is the most important title. That's the reason for His coming into this world. To save us from sin, save us from slavery, save us from eternal death. So I think we should be very, very, very thankful and grateful that God has called you to this program and given you this unique opportunity to make the best confession in your life. Jesus said through St. Faustina, the greatest sinners can become the greatest saints under one condition. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes?
The general confession, you said it's the confession of your whole life.
Yes.
Now, what if we've already confessed our mortal sins? Do we do it again?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You came a little bit late. One thing I was speaking about is that all of you have to know, all of you have to be honest with yourselves. Could be that in our lives we made a bad confession in which we held back a mortal sin. You got to make the general confession. And I haven't spoke about this, but I really believe a lot of marriages end up in divorce because before getting married, they did not make a good confession, or they didn't go to confession, and they were in mortal sin. And as a result of that, the marriage never seemed to work. So we insist in this parish, those who are going to get married, they have to make a good confession before. Otherwise, they're starting off on the wrong foot. As I said earlier, you have to the sacraments are very important, but they have to be received well. You know, read 1 Corinthians 11, where St. Paul speaks about those who are eating and drinking to their own condemnation. Eating and drinking the Eucharist to their own condemnation. So to receive the sacraments, try to receive the sacraments well. The two most important things you can do in your life are going to confession and going to communion. Those are the two most important things you can do in your life. Hopefully as a result of this course, we'll all improve in our confessions, which will help us to make better communions. Amen? Yes.
Question of practicality. This can be a long confession. Should we make an appointment with the priest, the confessor? Because is it fair to people behind you waiting and waiting and waiting? I've had it happen to me.
Yes.
It stresses my face.
It stresses you. Okay. Well, what I said earlier, maybe you didn't hear me, is that all of you should try to keep it within 10 minutes. Okay, and then maybe if you want to talk with the priest later on, or maybe some consultation, you can do that. We notice the better the preparation, usually the quicker the person confesses. Okay, if you're well prepared, you're just going to be reading off your list without any commentary. And you see, myself as a confessor, I say very little. I mean, I'm here to give you absolution, and then we've got another 20 people waiting. Let's move. Let's move along.
Is yes. there any preparation for this, which means it cannot be done today?
No, it's going to be done. It's going to be done Friday and Saturday. Okay. So you don't have too much time to prepare, but you've got time.
For those of us who are from way out of the area.
Yes.
And we do have confessions locally.
Okay, probably best to do it here because the priest where you go is not going to understand this. He won't understand it. You're going to suffer. You try to go through it and say, you've already confessed that. Let's move on. Just tell me the two or three things and then move on. That's our experience. No? Because a lot of priests don't understand Ignatian spirituality. They don't understand it. They're diocesan priests. May God bless them, but they don't understand the dynamics or the spirituality of an Ignatian confession. Yes?
This Friday and Saturday?
Yes.
We don't have much time.
I know.
Tomorrow.
I know. Well, maybe yours will be Saturday. At least you'll have a day and a half.
What is the schedule, Friday and Saturday?
Mary will give you the schedule. Yeah. Yes.
I did mine previously, I just did it the last one.
If you've ever done it, you're not going to be doing it, okay? Yeah. Some, those who are repeating, you don't have to, you're not going to be making it. Oh, just the newcomers who are doing the exercise the first time, which I think most of you hear. Yes.
So you're saying if you did it before, you don't have to do it again.
Have you been in the course before?
I was, but I didn't do the general confession.
Okay, then you have to do it. Yeah. Remember that T-shirt that the young people have? Just do it, okay? Just do it, okay? Good, good questions, okay? Let's say Hail Mary that we all prepare ourselves well for this very, very important moment in our life. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. St. Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Hey, God bless. I'll be praying for you, okay?